Sonny, I'm not sure why you felt like you had to cut out songs. I don't you make it sound like I'm long-winded or something. I don't want to hear anything over here. I want to begin with similar sentiments that have been stated several times over the last couple of weeks. It is such a blessing and a joy and impressive to see the work and the outreach of our little congregation here. And as has been expressed before, those of you that are here tonight are to be commended. I thank you for that. Being our first true hurricane experience, it was, you know, when it all finally passed, I didn't quite know what to do when it was all said and done. I was outside meandering around looking at some things, and I was it meant a lot to have two or three people from the Imperial Oak subdivision came by just to see how we were doing. Very unexpected. Shouldn't have been, but it was unexpected on my part. And like most all of us, you know, all of us for a period, you know, after the hurricane, found myself without the ability to check up on emails and things of that nature, just simply because I didn't have power, didn't have the access to it. And it took about a week before I found, before we had everything back up here, and I was able to get here to the building and check up on everything. And I have a Facebook account that I check up on periodically. And several of you are familiar with what that is. Others of you may not be. It's a website that allows people to, groups of people to talk. Yeah, they chat back and forth. You can send messages back and forth to one another. And it's been really interesting. I've had it for several months and been able to touch base with some friends of mine from college, people from high school that I have not even heard from them or heard anything about them since I graduated in May of 2000. All of a sudden, when I got this Facebook account, they just name after name after name started popping up. Well, it's one of the things, it's just a lot of fun to be able to do, but the first day that I had internet access and I was able to get back on and check my Facebook account, there's a thing, it's called the wall, where people can just drop you a little message right on your front profile page. And anybody that logs onto your Facebook page can see those messages, and people have conversations back and forth. But, folks, I was blown away, very moved, by the fact that I had all these messages right here waiting for me. You can say, are y'all okay? I'm praying for you and your precious family. Just checking in on you guys. Hope everyone's safe. Take care. Hope you're doing well. You can read them. And the thing that's interesting about it, folks, is if you go down that page, you see Jan Coppett. Jan Coppett's a lady who goes to church at West Huntsville where I grew up. She's retired from work now, but she's been a very close family friend of ours. And just out of the blue, Jan sends me a message. Cherie Cox is a girl that I went to high school with, that her whole family's been friends with ours for a long time, and she and her husband both went to Fried Hardeman with us. She dropped me a message. Becky Glenn is a girl that I dated in high school for a while. Karen McBrayer is the mom of one of our friends from the youth group back home where I grew up. Amanda Wright's my cousin who lives in Kentucky. Julie Steelman Hall is a family member of mine who lives in Ohio now. And Amy Cochran is a girl that I graduated from high school with, that she and her husband and I all went to the same high school together. They live in Huntsville, Alabama, where I grew up as well. And it really meant a lot to me. Really meant a lot to me to see that people from various parts and families from various parts of this nation were worried about us, and they were praying for us, and they were concerned about our well-being. And it quickly reaffirmed in my life and I had a greater appreciation for the blessings of having such great friends and family and having ways of keeping in touch with them. Tonight, one of the things that I want to do is discuss that concept of the family of God. If you would, open up to Matthew chapter 12. Verses 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12. It's a passage that most of us have heard several times and have read it and studied it for various things. And I just want to read through this. Again, Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. And while Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. And someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak to you." But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Folks, I truly believe that we in this building tonight, because we are striving as best we can to do the will of the Father, we are the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, as he says here. And in stating that, that makes us a really big family unit with a lot of really neat, fulfilling blessings in being a part of that family. And I hate to say it, but I think in some areas of this country, you know, the idea of the church family, that concept is kind of fading out as people come more into the modern age and as people become so busy that we're not involved in each other's lives anymore the way that we used to be. But folks, regardless of what society, of the atmosphere that society creates for us, we must never forget that as Christians, we are a family. We are the family of God. And over the next few minutes, what I want us to do is look at some of those blessings, some of those fulfilling attributes, if you will, that come with being a part of this family. First of all, I want to look at the fact that the family is there. Paige and I have marveled over the course of the time that we've been together that we've been blessed with opportunities to take several trips to various parts of this country, and especially when we were in college. And it seems to us, and I'll keep it here to America. I mean, I know that there are places, other parts of the world where this may not be the case. But it has seemed to me that it almost never fails that wherever you go, if you stay there for any period of time, you're going to find that there are members of the family of God who are there. And it's really interesting how quickly we find connections to and with those people. I'll give you an example. My freshman year of college, I took a trip with the chorus to New Jersey and New York area. And we went to Randolph, New Jersey, to a little congregation that didn't have a whole lot of people. And one family, it was the Lamoriello family, kept 13 of us college students in their house. That was a task. Kept 13 of us in the house, and they had three boys. And the boys, Missy Lamoriello, the mom, was telling me, as we just chatted, she said, "You know, these guys, my kids are the only Christians at their school. Nobody else is a Christian." And that night was a really fun night because as we all sat around the table, they had made some snacks for us. She'd baked a cake for all of us to munch on. And the boys would come in and say, "Hey, do you know Pierce My Ear?" "Yeah, we know that song. Can you sing it?" And so we'd sing that and say, "Hey, do you know As the Deer?" "Yeah, we know that. Can you sing that one?" And just song after song after song. And it was neat that, you know, just the fact that we were Christians, taking the time to spend with these little boys was a connection that you couldn't pay money for. But I thought it was really neat that the longer I talked with Missy, I told her I was from Huntsville, Alabama. And she said, "Oh, my maiden name is Jenkins." When my eyes lit up, that means nothing to you at the moment. But folks, North Alabama, the Huntsville area where I came from, the Jenkins are a very prominent family where I grew up. Many of them going to West Huntsville, the congregation that I went to for 21, 22 years. And all of a sudden, in this random trip that I take to New Jersey, I find a lady who's related to the Jenkins family. And it just blew me away that there was such an immediate connection within the family of God right there. When we were looking for a preacher, I kind of snuck a peek at one of the resumes that came through that was in the box. And I was just glancing down and I, you know, flipped through, looked at this guy's paperwork and got to the back page. And I noticed, you know, the references, and I noticed a guy by the name of Mike Oliver. And I thought, oh, I know a Mike Oliver. And I kept scrolling down. I said, he lives on Country Road. I know that Mike Oliver. He lives about four or five houses down the road from my mom and dad in Huntsville. And when this preacher came to apply and I got to go out and spend some time with him, we talked and I mentioned me knowing Mike Oliver. And he said, yeah. He said, Mike's helped me out a whole lot with trips to Belarus. Oh, really? Belarus? He said, yeah. And we got to talk a little bit more. And there's a lady that has been this guy's translator. Her name's Natasha Golis. Well, Natasha's son, Freddie, is in the United States, or citizen of the U.S. now. Freddie stayed with my grandparents, lived with them when he came to the States, and is pretty much an adopted member of our family now. And I tell you what, it was amazing to see that Ken Stegall and I had a whole lot in common before we ever met face to face. Small world. Folks, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you go. Being a part of the family of God means that there is family wherever you find yourself in. The family is there. But secondly, we want to look at the fact that the family supports. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul makes the statement. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word bear literally means to reach out and to take up with the hands. To take that burden off of somebody and to bear it in your own hands. To help them out with that load. And there's an aspect that in English we don't quite get, but if you go back to the original language, you find that Paul isn't just saying reach out once and bear the load of somebody else, but it's continually take up the load of one another's burdens. And notice the emphasis is on one another's. We have a tendency to get very selfish in life, and we look around and we think, well, my load, I've got so much going on, I've got so much to do, and my back is about to break. There's no way on earth that I can reach out and help take the load off of you because I've got more than I can handle right now. And yet Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God. And I think it's amazing. And it's important to realize that as Christians, we are blessed with a family that is charged with the task of helping to carry that load when our load becomes almost too much, when it comes to the point of breaking us. And it comes in several forms. Helping with physical loads. I think we saw that very much so when in the aftermath of the hurricane, people stepping in saying, do you need help? What can I help you do? Can I help you cut up trees? I know Dave Short was really excited about using a chainsaw on somebody's house. You know, can I run a chainsaw for you? Can I help lug limbs away? Can I rebuild your house for you? Can I take you food? But then on top of that, inevitably there were some emotional needs. Thankfully, we were not hit as hard here as other places, but I can guarantee that the family of God is reaching out to each other in other parts of Texas and the areas that were hit by this hurricane, and they're saying, what do you need emotionally and spiritually that I can help you with? What do you need me to pray for? What do we need to study about to help increase our faith and our strength and our confidence in Christ? One example in my life that I'd like to share with you, compared with another. You know, a little over a year ago, Paige and I were the recipients of activities such as baby showers. And then when Jace was finally born for a couple of weeks there, we had folks bringing us home-cooked meals, sending us cards, giving us phone calls, helping us as we tried to adapt to the big change in our lives of having an infant, a child under our care. And the kindness that we were shown here, as well as in my hometown in Alabama, was almost overwhelming. Because there were so many members of our Christian family who were reaching out to help us. A few months later, though, one of Paige's co-workers found herself in the same spot we were in. She was just a few months out from having her first child, but she's not a Christian. She had no baby shower to help her in getting some of the supplies that she might need. Not to mention that, a couple of months before she had her baby, she and her husband moved to Seattle, Washington, where she knew nobody. And because she was not a Christian, she couldn't reach out to the church, local church family, because nobody knew who she was. She had no connections. And there was nobody there that she could truly reach out and lean upon to get her through that first little bit. Her mom flew out there and spent some time with her. That was about it. She was sending Paige Facebook messages and phone calls saying, what do I do here? And at that point in our lives, it really helped us understand the importance and the luxury even of having a church family who is there to support us when we're at crucial points in our lives. Folks, we have got to remember, we must never forget that the family of God supports by bearing one another's burdens. But thirdly, we notice that the family rebukes. This is not the most pleasant of responsibilities, but a necessary one. Unfortunately, each of us will find ourselves at some point caught up in some kind of sin. Sometimes it'll be a one-time offense. I slipped, I goofed, I messed up. Sadly to say, there will be others of us who may find ourselves getting engulfed or swallowed up by a sinful lifestyle. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 3, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. You know, the word rebuke here means to charge sharply. To bring somebody under almost a legal charge. Rebuke them. Phrase we might use, say, call them out on the carpet. Let them know what they've done. It's never a fun thing to do. It's never a fun thing to call somebody out on the carpet. But, you know, we do our family a much greater disservice when we let it slide. One of the greatest examples of this principle comes from the apostles themselves. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is describing a confrontation that he had with Peter. And this takes place after Peter has already had his encounter with Cornelius. And it also takes place after the Jerusalem Council of Acts chapter 15, in which the apostles and some of the early church leaders got together to try to figure out, do Gentiles need to be circumcised or not? Notice what Paul describes here in his encounter with Peter, Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when these men from James came, he drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before all of them, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? And you can keep on reading and find out what exactly was meant by that statement. But folks, the point of it is this. You know, even the apostles had to be called out on the carpet from time to time. Nobody is perfect. We're all going to slip up. And sometimes we know it and other times we don't. But whether we realize it or not, We've got to have somebody there to help us see it when it happens. And as the Christian family, it is our responsibility to lovingly go to our brothers and sisters when they have gone astray, when they've erred, and call them out on the carpet. Let them know what they've done. But in doing so, that leads us to our last point. The family of God forgives. Please look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm convinced that if rebuking is hard, there are times that fully forgiving somebody is even harder. Paul again is giving us an example to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, that is a typo. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Forgive me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he's caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excess sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Notice in particular, verse 7. Some people think that perhaps Paul is writing and referring to the guy that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, who was openly engaging in a sinful relationship. But we don't know for certain. Whether he is or not, the principles that he gives out here stand true even today. He says in verse 7, just to read it again, so then you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him. Paul's instructions are twofold. Number one, forgiving. The word means to extend pardon. You can think on a legal standpoint, you know, when presidents may reach out and they may issue a pardon to someone for some crime that they've committed. It absolves them, so to speak, of responsibility. And so Paul says here, you know, the first thing you need to do is you need to actually extend a pardon to that person. And you know, this aspect of forgiveness is not necessarily the hard part. I think most of us, especially when somebody has come and asked for forgiveness, we can say, that's okay, I forgive you. I'm willing to, in essence, wipe that off your record. But it's the second part that gets hard, folks. He says you are to forgive and comfort them. This word quite literally means to call someone to your side for the purpose of comforting them. Not just to simply say, hey, we're done. But you reach out and you grab them by the arm and you pull them in close to you. And you wrap them and you give them a hug and you say, you know what, things are going to be okay. I think that's the hard part of true forgiveness. Wiping the black mark off of their lives. I'll give you an example of what I mean. A few years ago, I encountered a young lady who had been sowing some wild oats in the previous couple of years. And after the course of time of my knowing her, she came to the decision she needed to straighten a few things out in her life. And one of the first things that she realized and she said she needed to do is, I need to find some new friends to hang out with. somebody who's going to be a better example for me. And so she went to the youth group of the congregation I was working with. And she began to find two or three people that she could spend some time with. They were having a positive influence upon her, and things were going really well for this young lady. Things weren't perfect, but they were going better. She was beginning to understand what it means to be a follower of God. But one day I got a phone call from one of the parents who was concerned about the fact that their child was spending time with this young lady. And they were actually on the verge of telling their child, you can't spend any more time with her. And now all of a sudden what we find is that, hey, you know what? This young lady had asked for forgiveness. And at least some folks had said, hey, you're forgiven, but I'm still going to keep you out here. And I'm not quite ready to let you back into my inner circle because you did that very thing that I forgave you for. I think too often we find ourselves lacking in the area of comforting after we have extended pardon. And if somebody is truly, truly going to rebound, so to speak, from a difficult, sinful time in their life, we must be able to extend pardon, but then reach out and call them to our side and comfort them to help them through that time. The family of God is a great blessing to have in one's life. The family is there. Wherever you go, whatever situation you may find yourself in, it really seems to me that in almost every situation, every environment I find myself with, I can find the family of God close by. But the family supports. When I'm on the verge of having my back broken by the weights that are in my life, the family is there to help take them off and lighten that load. But the family rebukes. When I've erred, the family steps up and lets me know it, calls me out on the carpet. But finally, once I've seen the error of my ways, the family forgives. Do you enjoy these blessings of the family? If not, you may ask, how can I share in them? I mean, you know, like Paige's coworker, how can I find myself in a family that does that? Well, folks, I think that if you're looking at your life and maybe you don't feel like you're experiencing these things, it's probably for one of two reasons. And I think the first one is the question of, are you even a member of it? Are you a member of the family of God? The Bible says that the only way one can become a member of God's family is to experience the grace that He offers through the death of Jesus. And you can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing that you do believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism. And rising anew, you are a member of that great and wonderful family. But I think the other reason, folks, comes from this question: are you a working member of the family? It's a painful situation. But at times there are those who find themselves in tough times, Christians who find themselves in tough times, in need of help from the family, and yet they look around and nobody's there. Sometimes the family drops the ball, I'll admit that. But my question to a person who comes complaining, if you will, or troubled at the fact that nobody in the family was there to help them when they needed that help, my question is, are you working in the family yourself? I think more times than we care to admit, those who are looking for help from the family and can't find it, they're usually the ones sitting over here on the sidelines saying, well, you know, I see there's a need over there, and I've got the capability of doing that, but I'm going to stay over here for right now. And we find some reason to not jump in. And folks, I think that the answer to that is put on some work clothes. Get in there and get involved with the family at every opportunity possible. And I can promise you, I promise you that if you are an active, working member of the family of God, when the time comes that you need that family will be there in a heartbeat. I promise you it will be. Are you a member of the family of God? Do you enjoy the blessings? If not, do you need to become a Christian? Do you need to make the decision in your own life that, okay, I have Christ, but I need the family. I need to be a working member. I need to step up my game, so to speak, and get in there and get involved. Folks, the best way to come back to God, or the best time to come back to God, is the presence, the right here, the right now. And you have that opportunity. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, the water's ready. If you need to have prayers offered up for you to help bring you back to the fold, we're here. We will pray with you and for you. And we ask you to come now and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.